visibly eased as she and Axe exchanged details of losses and setbacks. Shigar had heard how battle lines could be blurred on a war's bloody front. This was the first time he had seen it in action. Perhaps Stryver's unlikely plan had some merit after all. Ula broke into the rapid exchange of intelligence.
"Every minute we stand around chatting," he said, "Sandrit's droids build more of themselves, more factories, more who knows what. If we're going to stop them, we have to start making solid plans, and fast."
"Agreed," said Master Satil. "Our number one priority is stopping the droids from getting more than a toehold in orbit. While their factories are confined to the surface of the planet, it will be possible to defeat them."
"A whole planet with just 15 ships?" asked one of the captain's senior officers. "And just one bulk cruiser?"
The hard-skinned major shook his head.
"No matter how you divide it up, it's impossible."
"Only if we tell ourselves it is," said Shigar. "Stryver's data clearly showed how the hexes radiated outward from a central point. The main hotspot your ship's bombarded,"
he added with a nod to Axe.
"I think it's safe to assume that this was where Xandret and the others founded the colony's capital. Destroying it didn't take out the hex's coordinating intelligence, but must have hurt it enough to move elsewhere. If we look for the place that's growing the fastest, that'll be the place to hit."
"We have identified two such locations," said Captain Pippoliti.
A hologram flickered to life between them.
"Here and here," she said, indicating one spot at the equator and another at the South Pole. "Perhaps the hexes have decided not to put all their eggs in one basket this time."
Shigar studied the image. The site on the equator was in the middle of a vast sea of lava, dotted with islands of solid stone. The polar site was much more stable. Straight lines radiated from it in all directions, leading to other spots elsewhere.
"That's a factory," he said, pointing at the pole. "Perhaps the master factory, where everything else originates. And that's the brain," he said, transferring his finger to the equator. "How can you possibly know that?" asked Axe. "Because factories need physical means to get things in and out. Resources, power, finished droids. That's what these are."
He followed one line from point to point.
"Roads or railways of some kind. Or power cables. And brains don't need anything of the sort," she said, nodding. "It can just sit there, isolated in the middle of that mess, sending orders out by radio."
"I think you're right, Shigar." Master Satil moved around the globe, rubbing her chin. "Teams striking both at once, plus targeted bombardment at the secondary locations, should be enough to slow the hex's growth."
"Enough to stop it, perhaps," said Captain Pippoliti. "Until reinforcements arrive."
There was an uncomfortable silence. Shigar knew as well as anyone that once the threat of the planet was reduced to zero, the Alliance would break. This moment of solidarity was both fragile and temporary. No one had forgotten that the Sith and the Jedi, the Empire and the Republic, were anything other than mortal enemies.
"Let's worry about reinforcements when they get here," Ula said. "Captain Pippoliti, would you be willing to sketch out a basic plan now, to pass on to Darth Kratos and Colonel Kalish for their opinion? I suggest dividing resources evenly over all tactical objectives.